The world celebrated yesterday as Astrology Day, so I thought we'd take a look at what it is and what God thinks about it, and the broader subject of witchcraft. So what is astrology? Merriam-Webster defines astrology as the divination of the supposed influences of the stars and planets on human affairs and terrestrial events by their positions and aspects. The origins of astrology can be traced back to ancient civilizations that observed the stars to predict events on Earth. Some of the earliest records of astrology comes from Mesopotamia, where the Babylonians developed the first organized system of celestial observations. The Babylonians are considered the first ancient astrologers. They believed that celestial events, such as planetary movements and eclipses, were linked to human affairs and natural disasters. By around 600 BC, they had developed the first horoscope system, using the stars to predict the futures of kings and empires. And how popular is it today? According to the Pew Research Center, in the article published on the 21st of May last year, 30% of all Americans consult astrology, tarot cards, or fortune tellers, although most say they engage these practices for fun rather than insights and guidance to their life decisions. But why do people use it? Last year, the following article was posted on the Church Prophetic website, entitled Generation Z Turn to Astrology to Answer Life's Big Questions. The article reads, a quick search of the astrology hashtag on TikTok brings up 4.5 million videos. Some explain why you might have been feeling depressed recently. Some predict when Prince William will become king. By the way, that was supposedly last June of last year. And others describe the best star sign in bed. More and more members of Generation Z, who make up the majority of TikTok users, have become interested in astrology. The trend is not only evident on social media, but also on astrology apps, offering users daily horoscopes or advice. CoStar, an American app that uses AI to combine NASA data and content from astrologers, rose from 7.5 million global users in 2020 to 30 million in 2023. With several of these apps offering paid-for extras, such as romantic compatibility reports, spending on astrology-related products is projected to grow to $22.8 billion by 2031, up from just $12.8 billion in 2021, according to the consulting firm Allied Market Research. However, the modern technology has also affected Gen Z's search for philosophical answers. A very common question I came across in astrology is, why am I here? Bear in mind, we live in a very strange era now. We have our jobs, we have our ambitions, but we also have something else looming: artificial intelligence. A lot of them don't work. They don't understand any more what their role is, what their purpose is. It is a very strong trend, and that trend will grow. More and more people will wonder what they are for. End of the article. So we've learned what astrology is, and how popular it is, and what people use it for. But what does God say about astrology and its siblings of witchcraft and clairvoyance? While the word astrology isn't found in the Bible, God does have quite a lot to say about all forms of fortune-telling and magic, and none of it is positive. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah 10, and we'll read verse 2. That's Jeremiah 10, we'll read verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed by them. We do not need to look to the stars for guidance and understanding of the future. We have been given direct access to the very creator of those stars. God's view on witchcraft is even more clear. Just put in your notes Exodus 22, verse 18, which says, thou shalt not suffer or allow a witch to live. And Leviticus 19:31, which says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. That doesn't really have much of a wiggle room, really, does it? You turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 18, and we'll start reading in verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, and we'll start reading in verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God have given thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or they that use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For those nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. In the August 1984 issue of The Good News, in an article entitled Spiritism, Fraud or Fact, a very interesting article and well worth the read, Mr. Armstrong writes the following. One of the most noted portions of Scripture, yet one of the least understood, is the case of Saul and the Witch of Endor. This story is found in 1 Samuel 28. Notice in verse 3 of this chapter. Now Samuel had died, and all of Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. Notice that Samuel was dead and buried. He was not alive. And continuing, and Samuel had put the mediums and the spirits out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dream or by Urim, through the high priest, or by any of the prophets. God would not listen to Saul. Saul had been disobedient. Samuel had been inspired to tell Saul, for rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft. And what did Saul do? Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. Remember that Samuel was buried in Ramah, located in the territory belonging to the tribe of Ephraim. But the Philistines and Saul were now near Lake Galilee in Mount Gilboa, near Endor, about 50 miles from the place in which Samuel was buried. The night before the battle, Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring me up the one I shall name to you. Saul sinned by seeking a witch. If God would not answer Saul by a prophet because of Saul's disobedience in government administration, how much more would God refuse to answer Saul by a prophet when Saul sought to a witch? Remember that Samuel was a prophet and a judge, and God would not use a prophet to answer Saul. In other words, God would not use Samuel the prophet to answer Saul. Neither would God use any other means for that matter. God absolutely refused to listen to Saul because of his rebellious attitude. But notice what happened. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? Notice that the woman's spirit medium claimed to conduct the dead by supernaturally bringing them up from the grave through a familiar spirit. This form was practiced in times past when people believed that the dead were in their graves. Today, spirit mediums have their familiar spirits produce a voice from the air, because it is commonly believed today that the dead are not in their graves, but somewhere else. Saul replied to the woman, bring up Samuel for me. Instead of the familiar spirit appearing first and then the visionary form of the dead person, the woman saw first a form that looked exactly like Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" Notice that the familiar spirit did not manifest itself first at Saul's seance. Instead, the familiar spirit produced the form of Samuel that only the woman saw. Saul did not see it. He asked the woman what she saw. And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." This is an incorrect translation. The word translated spirit is Elohim in the Hebrew. It can mean either the true God, pagan gods, or judges. In Exodus 22, verses 8 to 9, the Hebrew word Elohim is translated judges. In 1 Samuel 28:13, the verse should have been translated, "I saw a judge ascending out of the earth." This is proved by the following. So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Notice that Saul still did not see anyone. He only perceived by reasoning from what the woman said that the form the woman saw was that of Samuel. Here we have a perfect illustration of the impersonation of a human being by an evil spirit. The familiar spirit produced an illusion that only the woman saw. To her, the illusion was that of a judge rising out of the earth. Remember that Samuel was actually buried about 50 miles away, not at Endor, where the seance was occurring. Samuel was not resurrected. The whole thing was a supernatural fraud. While impersonating Samuel, the spirit spoke to King Saul thus, "Now Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me from bringing me up?'" Notice the lying spirit. Satan lied to Eve in a similar manner. And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me any more, neither by prophet nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." The spirit continued to impersonate Samuel by reprimanding Saul for all his evil deeds. Finally, the spirit concluded by saying, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the armies of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." How did the spirit know what was going to happen? Because God often makes his plans known to evil spirits. Notice in 1 Kings 22 verses 22 to 23 and 2 Chronicles 18, 21 to 22. God permits lying spirits to know his plans. God rules over all, but he also allows Satan and his demons to control and influence this entire world. The familiar spirit of the Witch of Endor must have known that God would deliver Saul that next day. So he told Saul what would happen in order so that the impersonation of Samuel might seem real. Now read what happened to Saul because he inquired about the future from a spirit medium. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. That is exactly how serious God regards spiritism. He took the life of Saul for seeking information at a seance. End of the article. God reiterates the command not to go to witches, wizards, mediums, clairvoyants, or anyone who deals in any form of magic in Isaiah 8 and verse 19. That's Isaiah 8, and we'll read verse 19. "And when they say unto you, 'Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter,' should not people seek unto the God, unto their God, for the living to the dead?" God makes it very clear that he does not look kindly unto those who use magic of any kind, especially as it's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. God speaks, and it is. Magic involves wizards and witches speaking, chanting, muttering spells and incantations to cause results. We do not need to go to the stars to know the future. God has given us his plan, and it is sure, because he has said so. We have been given access through the Holy Spirit to the very throne room of the Creator of the whole universe, the one with all the answers.